The start of the Bible, humankind lives in God's garden. But at the close, the end of Revelation, the view is of life in God's perfected city. The new Jerusalem adorned as a bride where heaven and earth meet. We are destined for the ultimate in city life. God's tender, obsessive love for Jerusalem, in spite of everything, resonates throughout Scripture. The prophet Ezekiel tells of God's discovery of the newly born Jerusalem, as he describes it. "Then I washed you in water. Yes, I thoroughly washed off your blood, and I anointed you with oil. I clothed you in embroidered cloth and gave you sandals of badger skin. I clothed you with fine linen and covered you with silk. I adorned you with ornaments, put bracelets on your wrists and a chain on your neck. And I put a jewel in your nose, earrings in your ears, and a beautiful crown on your head." Just luscious love poetry. Jerusalem is where God particularly longs for his kingdom to shine and to be a vibrant example to the whole of his world. But repeatedly, Jerusalem disappoints. It turns from and indeed neutralizes those sent by God to bring his word. Ezekiel continues, "But you trusted in your beauty and played the whore because of your fame." This love tradition prompts the outpouring of grief in the lament that we heard in the gospel as Jesus, speaking like an Old Testament prophet, surveys Jerusalem. And it's a lament that's repeated six chapters later in the Gospel of Luke, when Jesus weeps over the city just before his agonized pleading with God in the Garden of Gethsemane. Jesus knows that his beloved city will reject and kill him, as it's rejected prophets throughout its history. He knows that this rejection of his kingdom and the increasing Jewish obsession with nationalism and freedom from the Roman occupier will lead to cataclysmic destruction, as happened in AD 70 when the Romans destroyed the temple and the city. And as some of you know, it remains a quite extraordinary city. The view from the city of Jerusalem, from the Mount of Olives, is totally breathtaking. It's very different from the view of Jesus with the golden dome of the rock in place of where the temple stood, but still amazing. In the city, there's much evidence of the deep good within us, but also of the divisiveness which plagues us. Many races living alongside each other in a very small space with inspiring normality. The children running through the city, children of different races, is my most enduring memory from the one time I've been there. But there are also distinct signs of division and tension, with some segregation and several very heavily armed Israeli soldiers on duty. Luke also loves images from the natural world, and here the motherly care of God and the extremes he will go to are expressed in the image of the mother hen, desperate to protect her chicks from the impending firestorm. Apparently, after farmyard fires, chicks have frequently been found alive and well under the charred bodies of their mothers who've sacrificed all to protect their brood. Here in Jerusalem, the chicks continue to run amok, ignoring the pleas of their mother. In contrast, Herod Antipas, the son of Herod the Great, the epitome of the paranoid, self-obsessed earthly ruler. And the image given is the fox, which in biblical animal imagery is the absolute opposite of the mighty lion. The fox, mean and paltry, wreaks destruction and cowardly kills just for fun. Something that many families around us in North Essex have experienced when a fox has breached the defences set up to protect the beloved family chickens. Although I did read last week about an unwise fox who broke into a battery farm in Brittany and was confronted by 3,000 hens who pecked the fox into oblivion. 1-0 to the hens. As we know, cities offer particular deep potential for vibrant and energizing community. Community that allows interaction, that breaks down barriers and stimulates the talents and gifts of individuals, enabling them to flourish for collective benefit. And ours is a completely amazing city, a world in a city, as Bishop Richard used to say, with its stunning diversity, its dynamism, its extraordinary potential for the good. According to the paper, the Middle East Eye, it's the only city where a restaurant may be owned by an Arab, run by Eastern Europeans, and with an Indian bookkeeper. As we celebrate the God-given wonders of our city, we do also need to build in time for lament, and to consider perhaps what Jesus might see looking down in love over London from Hampstead Heath. You perhaps see in the freneticism, increasing numbers of people struggling for identity, trying to find identity and meaning in membership of gangs, in all-consuming careers, in respect from social media. You'd see outcasts and pockets of deep poverty in the shadows of the towers of affluence. And you'd see increasing numbers of people with no real understanding of his gospel of salvation and transformation. And indeed, you'd see the development of prejudice against his gospel based on anecdote and ignorance. Prejudice that is perhaps becoming institutional. You may have read recently about the Iranian Christian who was refused asylum by the Home Office. And the reason given was incontrovertible evidence that Christianity is not as peaceful as the applicant claimed. The Home Office representative, using Google, had just ripped out of context a series of quotations from Scripture, particularly Revelation, supposedly proving the violent undercurrents in our faith. Thankfully, this is being appealed. We have an amazing gospel to proclaim in this amazing city, which deeply yearns for it. In the name of Jesus, amen.